What a privilege it is to stand in the presence of you folks. Stand behind this pulpit. What a pleasure it is to take part in such a wonderful, wonderful occasion. 90 years God has blessed. 90 years God has saved souls. 90 years and God has much, much, much fruit to your account. Thankful to the Lord. I'll tell you, I want to just thank you for the wonderful accommodations out in the mission quarters. And I want to just thank you for all your friendship and love and prayers through the years. God has been so good. A lot of folks that I don't see here because they're with the Lord. And a lot of folks that I remember, that they're not here. But I'll see them pretty soon. I'll see them pretty soon, and I know you're thinking that's because of my age, but that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean at all, because if you know Christ, it's not going to be long till you see him too. I don't care what your age is. It passes just like that. It just passes like a second. You just don't know how fast life passes. I remember, and when I began to start this message and to think of it, I thought that maybe... I really thought, Brother Corey, that I was supposed to preach a minute for every year. But I got here, and Brother, he straightened me out. So I trimmed a few minutes off of it. But to be all honest with you, when I began to look and to see what God had done for this church, my heart was overwhelmed, literally overwhelmed. How the Lord has blessed through this ministry for 90 years. 90 years. And you know what? I was in this church not terribly long after it was organized. I was. Some of you are laughing, and you were too. So my peers are laughing, and they were too. By my peers, and you know, I tell you what, it's just always a joy to see you. Always a joy to see you. I just love you, and you prayed for me. I tell you what, I receive cards and letters from time to time and encouragement and say, we're praying for you folks. And I tell you what, it's just exciting to me to know we have that blood kinship, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a kinship it is for all eternity. By the way, when I go to Africa and preach, I tell the folks, the black folks there, the same thing. And I want you to know, they love me, I love them, and I love them here in this nation. I think that we're missing so much. So many people are missing so much, but not realizing that Jesus died for red and yellow, black and white. And I'll tell you what, we are blessed. But those folks, when I told them that I'm kin to them, blood kin, they had a funny look on their face at first. Because they didn't realize I was talking about the blood of Jesus. And I tell you what, that takes away color, brethren. Takes away the color. I tell you, the Lord is good. The Lord is gracious, been gracious to this church for so very, very long. For 90 years, Central Baptist Church has watched the mighty hand of God work in a mighty and a glorious way through His church. Hey, you've watched Him. You can go back and if I preached with all the wonderful blessings that just entered my heart and mind, you wouldn't be here. I tell you, there's so many. You know, our Lord brought about good times, brethren, and He's brought about tough times. But by God's grace, this church has stuck with the task. And much fruit, brethren, has abounded to your account both here and abroad, as your pastor was telling you. I remember when Brother Moser Sr. would raise his head toward the rafters, log troughs in that old building down on 917 West Markham. And he would raise his head with tears in his eyes. He says that represents souls that have been saved. That represents people that have gone to the mission field. That represents a sacrifice. But oh, eternity will reveal the blessings from that sacrifice. He says, these unfinished ceilings, thy souls. Then I would see him and I would remember as he looked out in the audience and after he had preached and after the message was coming to an end, and he would say, sinner friend, I can still hear that voice. Sinner friend, the Lord Jesus died for you. He died for you, for your sins. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to give you eternal life. And I say this morning, while I'm preaching to mainly the people that are members of this church, I want to tell you something right quick. Sinner friend, that Jesus still saves people. And He loves you. And Jesus died and paid the total, complete price on the cross of Calvary for you. And when He finished it, He said, it's finished. And it was finished. The plan of redemption that was planned from eternity past, in your behalf and in my behalf, that we might spend eternity with Him. Oh, I want you to know, He still loves the sinners. Many of these precious souls that were saved in this church, and I believe, Brother Corey, thousands have been saved as a ministry of this church. But I think we probably don't carry it far enough. Many of the teachers, I saw pictures out on the board in the basement, right close to the hot water heater for the baptistry. I remember that. I remember the curtains that we pulled to divide the classrooms. I remember those teachers, and they taught their heart out. And I want you to know that I learned about the Lord Jesus. And I learned, although I was too young to be saved, I learned that He loved me and that I was a sinner and that Jesus died for sinners. I'm telling you, impressed on me when I was old enough to know. Then I was just a false professor and wasn't really saved till I was 28 years of age under the ministry of Brother M.L. Mosher, Jr. And I appreciate that man. And I appreciate him sticking with the task. I appreciate him when times were tough. He didn't leave. You know, because of this church has remained true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This old sinner was saved in the third row of the choir loft, December 3rd, 1967, 45 years this year. I'll tell you what, I thank the Lord that she remained. I thank the Lord, Brother Moser, that you remained faithful. And you kept giving me the gospel over and over and over till the Lord broke my heart and said, you're just a false professor, but you're not a possessor. I'm thankful today. I'm a possessor. I know I have eternal life. I'm looking for the Lord. I'm listening for the Lord to say, come up hither. I'm looking for Him. If He wants to take me before that, I'm just looking for my Savior. I'm looking for the angels to carry me up to the first face I want to see is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest part about Central Baptist Church. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. I heard the gospel. I heard the truth. The pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much social gospel today. You must stand strong. You must not compromise. You must stand faithful to His Word. Faithful to His Word and faithful to the gospel of salvation. You've been invested. You've invested. Brother Corey, I think maybe where we're a step short sometimes is you've invested in the church I pastor. Did you know that? You've invested in the church that I pastor. You say, how's that? Because I was saved here. You've invested in that ministry. Not only that, you see, you support our missionary. I mean, you have a double interest on your investment, brethren. I want you to know you never outgive God. Souls, you can't purchase souls. You can't buy a soul. Praise God. He's given you grace to stand these 90 years. And there have been some faithful warriors have stood. Faithful men have stood in this pulpit. Faithful men have ministered in and through this church and been taught. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I was talking to your pastor yesterday. I want to tell you, I'll share my heart to the best I possibly can. That passage doesn't mean that the gate that you are inside defending the gate. Not at all. It's the gates of hell. And I want you to know that means the Lord's church is forever and ever and ever to be a militant church. I tell you, we are to charge the very gates of hell itself. We're to charge Satan. We're to charge him. And the only way we do that is to keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on telling people about the Lord Jesus. Keep on giving to the missions and sending the missionaries for those that can't go. Oh, what a... Central Baptist Church will remain strong as long as she's militant. We're not just defending. Brethren, not just defending, but militant. Going forward. God has some great things planned here. Great things. I read in the book of Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It isn't us at all. It's Him. It isn't the pastor. It's the Lord who takes the message and reaches down into the heart and convicts the soul of sin, shows them judgment if they don't accept Christ, and shows them the Lord Jesus Christ who came to die for their sins. Oh, you know, the next few minutes, I want us to just leave the past. I'm going to comment on it on the way. You know, the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul had his face set for eternity. And you, when, brethren, when we have our heart and our mind set toward eternity, I want you to know souls mean something to us. Things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and in the light of His grace. Oh, what a God we have. He's not through. We just don't need to be through. We don't need to take a back seat. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Sometimes we think that when we get a little older, that we're not important to the Lord, or that we shouldn't tell that soul about being saved. That I'll be honest with you, it seems like the older I get, the more people will stop and listen. I don't know if it's just out of politeness to an old man or what. But I'll tell you what, God wants to use every single person in this audience. He wants to use every one of you. Every one of you. Till your dying day. Jesus said, I'll be with you till the end of the age. But you know what He meant? It's simple. It's plain. I'm going to be there, but I'm going to work through you and in you. A militant church. This morning, I want you to visualize a large circle. Let's just visualize a large circle. In that circle, there's a dot. The Bible says, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. That's eternity. There's no beginning and there's no end. And there's a little dot in that circle. And in that dot is a segment called time. Time. And in that dot, and you can't see the dots, how long is eternity? But in that dot is 2012. Somewhere in that one, you are. You say, well, it doesn't make me sound very important. Jesus saw us important enough to said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't he important enough to us that we give our all, everything we have, everything? Our message this morning reveals the sovereign hand of God working through faithful people of God. You know, these were just plain people, standing strong, just plain people like you and me, standing strong in God's place, in God's time, seeking to follow God's will. Simple and plain as that. Our Lord has pictured or placed you and I here. He's placed Central Baptist Church in this time in history for just such a time as this. I believe that with all my heart. For just such a time as this. You're one of those people in that speck. But he's placed you for here just such a time as this. Well, just like he did Brother Moser Sr. Just like he did Brother Moser Jr. Just like he did Brother Kinnamer and all those that went before us. I know many of you are saying, who is Brother Kinnamer? Let me tell you about Brother Kinnamer. This church had a radio program. Pioneer in radio, as a matter of fact, many years ago. For 71 years ago, Brother Kinnamer was preaching on the radio. And there was a mother of a little boy, 2 years old. It was sick that Sunday. So she didn't go to her church. She was listening to the radio. And Brother Kinnamer was preaching in the place of Brother Moser because Brother Moser was out on a revival. My mother heard the gospel message. The first time for the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my mother was saved. And I'm standing in front of you today as a testimony. There's been a lot of fruit to your account. Do you know the fruit that went from that particular day? That day, when she was listening to that radio program, not only her own family, salvation within our own family, maybe even some of you, my mother was instrumental in leading you to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. You say, well, you're just talking about your mother. I'm talking about the fruit from this ministry. It has gone on and on and on. You know, and I'll be honest with you, there's no end to it. No end to it. How many people could give the same testimony I gave? How many people have had their parents saved here and they've been saved and the Lord has directed them into the ministry? Or they themselves have been people that have become soul winners and reaching people for Christ? I don't think we will ever know. We will never, never know. We enter an intriguing story this morning. It's sobering. It's a sobering account of the Lord's hand at work through His people. And I want to tell you what, if the Lord doesn't work through His people, there's not going to be work done, Brother Corey. The Lord's hand works through His people. All it takes is a willing heart. All it takes is a willing heart. Somebody that is available. You know, he's not always looking for somebody that is able, but somebody that is available. He's looking for that one. I want us to draw many practical applications from our message this morning. We enter the story this morning with the threat of annihilation of the Jewish people. The Persian Empire housed an estimated 15 million Jews from India to Ethiopia, and that means it took in Israel. It was a great, great kingdom, a big kingdom. For some human reason, Mordecai, the older cousin of Esther, had remained in Persia when Cyrus allowed the Jews to return to their homeland. I don't know how many of you know the story of Esther, but boy, I want you to know, I've thought many times, why were they there? Why were they there? And I can only come up with one. God retained them there to deliver His people. The Lord kept them there. The Lord has brought you here this morning. The Lord has placed you here this morning. The Lord has placed you where you live because there's souls around you. The Lord has placed you where you work because there's souls around you, lost souls around you. God has you shop where you shop because there's lost souls where you shop. You may have a favorite place. You may see the people over and over. You may give them tract after tract after tract. But don't ever discount the fact that the gospel is going out if you are. Sometimes personal examples I try to shy away from. But this regards this church. My mother, who was saved back then, she was in her 90s. We took her out to Ryan's to eat. She loved to go out to eat. It was a long process when you did, but bless her heart. And so the young waiter, this young man, college age guy, I mean, mother just took his heart. And he just made sure she had everything she needed right where it was, right when it was. And he just made everything there. And so in a moment he had a free, and he just sat down right across, just right across from my mother, right across. And my mother said, "Son, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?" And I said, "Oh, what a witness. What a witness." All her life, from the time she was saved, that was her life. Brethren, what could the Lord do with this church if each one of you who are born again, every one of you that are born again, would take that spirit? Not obnoxiously like I've heard people do, Brother Corey. Not shaking our fist in anybody's face. But if nothing else, brethren, saying, "You know, I want to tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. I just want to tell you what the Lord has done for my life in saving me. I just want to tell you where I'm going to go when I die." Oh, God will use you like never before when you see. And you have a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. You have a vision for lost souls. And you continue. That's why that I'm here. Somebody had a vision for lost souls. That's why I can preach to you. That's why I can remind you of the wonderful times we've had in the Lord. The wonderful times we've had in the Lord. When we enter the story this morning, the king has signed a decree to kill the Jews of the kingdom, all of them. But what he didn't know, what the king didn't know, that his wife, his queen was a Jew. He didn't know that. Yet Queen Esther. And that Haman, the guy that hated the Jews, had put him up to signing the decree. Esther, chapter 1, please. I mean 4, if you'll turn there. Esther, chapter 4. I want to read 14 verses. Obviously, I cannot preach and comment on all these verses. But I want you to see good, or be reminded well, of the story. Because I can't comment on all of it, and the pieces will fall together for you. If you have some background in it, it's going to fall together for you even more. And I trust our practical applications will be used in your life. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, see, they found out this death warrant is out for all of the Jews. Listen, I was all away. The whole kingdom, even in Israel, those that had been allowed to go back by Cyrus, they had a death warrant on them. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. You see, Esther was made queen because these two had stayed there. The older cousin of the two raised Esther. Mordecai raised Esther. That's the reason they were there. They had stayed. The Lord had kept them there. And they were people like you and me. And they were willing. Mordecai was a godly man. And he accepted the coming of the Messiah. He knew the Messiah was coming. And what a bewilderment it must have been that now all the Jews are going to be killed. How could the Messiah be born of the Jews? But I'll tell you what. You see the picture. You see what is taking place. And Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceeding grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away a sackcloth from him. But he received it not. He wasn't mourning for the dead. He was mourning from those that were going to be dead. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to decree it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king unto the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king should hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. I want you to see something about the king. I want you to see the threat that is here for this young lady. You see, the king couldn't be disturbed with anything that would make him sad. Nothing. No sackcloth. No ashes. Unless he called someone in, unless he was willing to see them, they couldn't come to that throne room. But God. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape to the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews." You see this man's faith? He knew. Arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And that's my thoughts to you. You've come to the kingdom. When you were saved, you came into the kingdom of God. You're subjects to the physical kingdom that one of these days Jesus will rule and reign over, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we, listen, brethren, we that have spent this time together and those that have gone before, we're all going to be in the kingdom together. We're going to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And we're going to serve Him. You know, if we could have our hearts set there instead of here, it'd make a lot of difference, wouldn't it, brethren? On eternity. On eternity. You see, there was a purpose. The first thing I notice is the brokenness of the Jews. Mordecai led, and everyone followed when they found this out. Mordecai was broken. For all the Jews that he heard were also broken. Sackcloth and ashes, grieving of heart, greater than you and I can grasp. It pictured humility also, and it acknowledged that we're nothing but dust. You know, David says, "He knoweth my frame, that I'm nothing but dust." And I'm thankful the Lord knows that about me. I'm nothing but dust, but He knows us that we're just but dust. But I will tell you what, He's acknowledging. They're acknowledging, "God, we're nothing but dust. We must have You. We need You. We are helpless. We are totally helpless." How much they needed Him. The Jews were under the sentence of death. It was the death law. A lot of people walking around in your community. A lot of people walking around in your neighborhood. A lot of people walking around at your work that have a death warrant on their top of their head. A death warrant on top of their head. For the wages of sin is death. And it still is. The wages of sin is death. The law of the Persians was in black and white. And God's indestructible word is still in black and white. And it's not going to change. I don't care how much social gospel comes along. I don't care about how many preachers try to soothe over everything. Not even, I mean, they boast. I don't mention sin. And I don't mention anything negative in my pulpit. Brethren, I want you to know, if we don't tell souls that it's because of their sins they're on the way to hell, how are they ever going to be saved? You must be a sinner before you can be saved. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And without Christ, man is sin sick. He needs the Savior. He needs a hope. Only through Him is that hope. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. They need to hear Christ. Oh, I recall the weeping for lost souls. If there's anything that has really stuck with me in my own preparation, brother, for this message, in my own looking back and searching of my own heart, if there's anything that has reminded me of something, where are my tears like I used to see in the pews of the folks sitting in church? For lost people, weeping over souls that were present, weeping over souls that weren't saved, weeping over lost mom, lost dad, lost husband, lost wife. Where are our tears for the lost? I'll tell you what. These people have a death warrant, and somebody that has never come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, they have a death warrant. They have a death warrant. Oh, take us back. Take us back, Lord. Take us back. Take us back. Not in just memory. Take us back to my heart being broken for souls. Oh, yes. I want that. May God give us the brokenness for souls. A real brokenness in souls. Next, I see Esther sending Mordecai a change of clothes. She didn't understand what's going on, so he was mourning, and that was a common practice, and she just sent him a change of clothes. But I want you to know, that wouldn't help the situation, would it? And when a person's lost and dying and on the road to hell, a change of clothes doesn't help them. Cleaning up the life doesn't help them. Turning over a new leaf doesn't help them. So many people I share the gospel with, and they say, well, I'm just as good as those people down in the church. And I said, well, there are hypocrites there. I hope you'll admit it. I was a hypocrite till I was 28 years old under the preaching of Brother Moser Sr. and Brother Moser Jr. I was just a hypocrite. All I was religious without redemption. Oh, I thank the Lord. He was merciful and gracious to me, and He brought me to the place of repentance. And I came out and tapped the preacher on the shoulder. He was surprised. Everybody was surprised. I had a good cover. You can have a good cover without being redeemed and have the cover of righteousness through Jesus Christ. Oh, me. I thank the Lord for His mercy. You know, we don't need a social, good-feeling gospel. Men don't need reforming. They need redemption. Men don't need remodeling. They need repentance. Men don't need to be better. They need to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they're justified. They're pardoned, and God sees them under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women, boys and girls need the truth that we hold in our hands and the truth we hold in our hearts because we know Christ. They need that truth. They need Christ. Knock on doors. Distribute gospel tracts. You know what? I remember I saw a picture just this morning on the screen of the big sign, the big neon sign. I had an uncle, his name was Forrest, Uncle Forrest. Uncle Forrest stood at the base of that those steps right there down by that signpost. He had been in the First World War. He had emphysema so bad he could just hardly walk very far. And that man would make it down those steps after church on Sunday morning, or before church, and he would be there, and after church. Anybody remember Brother Forrest? Some of you might remember him. And he handed out gospel tracts. He handed out gospel tracts. I don't know how many people were saved from those gospel tracts, but I tell you what, the Bible says His word won't return void. His word won't return void. And I'll tell you what, He handed those gospel tracts out. You know what really sold me? I heard Brother Moser Sr. tell the story of a man that was going down. He was coming up Markham Street, and he walked by the church building. And I don't know if Uncle Forrest gave him that tract or not, but that man was going to the Arkansas River Bridge to jump over and commit suicide. He accepted Christ. And he came back to tell about it. A gospel tract. And there's many stories like that. I don't tell those as tearjerkers. I tell those because we ought to be broken in spirit and heart. We ought to be broken, brethren. I'll tell you what, Haytack pictures the way God takes each individual child of God and uses them to fulfill His purpose. He was a faithful steward, a faithful servant. The Lord just wants to use you where you are in just such a time. Whatever age you are in just such a time. Children, however young you are in just such a time. God wants to use them. We have, for many years, we had some, well, I tell you what, we had a man saved and his wife saved in our church and baptized in our church many, many years ago. They moved away from Dallas and we never saw them after that, kept a little contact with them. But I want you to know, our children were handing the tracts out there. Actually, it was the leaflets inviting people to come to the revival. And this one leaflet was handed to these folks, and they said, "We had to come." When that little child handed me the invitation. Don't tell me our kids can't be effective. And brethren, I want you to know, they need to see you handing out tracts. They need to see you witnessing to people. They need to see you telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. My mother would take me visiting, and she would say, "Son, sit right there." You know what I did? I sat right there. If you heard my mom say that, you would too. I knew why we were there. She took her Bible out and she started telling people how to be saved. She told that Sunday school girl how to come to know Christ. She had a purpose. She had a purpose in life. And it wouldn't end. It wouldn't end. You know what? That's what's given me a burden. And I want more burden. I still look at my mom and I say, I want that burden. I want that brokenness. Weeping for souls. I want that in my heart. I want that in my life. You know, each of you, every one of you, can reach people I never can reach. You're going to know people I'll never reach. You're going to be in a particular area I'll never be to. Or your pastor, he won't be either. It's not his responsibility, it's our responsibility. The commission was given to the church to go. Be witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. The commission is still the same. It hasn't changed. God's word doesn't change. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Oh yes, time has changed and we're in an awfully hard time. We're in a serious time in our nation. And I know that. It's a lot different than putting up the revival signs out in the front yard of like on West Markham Street and saying revival and a lot of people come. A lot of people don't come today. They've got all they want out there. They've got enough money to make it. They've got enough entertainment to have. They don't need God. I realize that. But there's still folks, and I wish I had time to tell you about so many and that I have seen and got. There's still folks that want to be saved. There's still folks that are crying out in their heart, "I need something. I don't know what it is." Brethren, there's people all around you crying out. All they can put up a good front with their education or whatever it is. And I'm not against education either, I'm telling you. But they can put up a good front. But they don't know Christ. And they're hurting. And they want what's real. Like I was sharing one time from Matthew that the Lord gives rest to this lady. And I was sharing about how she was a sinner and she needed to know Christ. And Jesus died for her sins. And she said, she looked me square in the face and she said, "I need that rest. I need that rest." How many people are out there that need the rest and they don't know where to go? They don't know where to go because they've not heard the truth. Brother Corey, there aren't, in the whole broad view, there aren't many sound gospel preaching churches today. On a whole view, a whole big view, there just aren't many. Each of you, Jesus used one little boy. God had placed one little boy in a multitude of 5,000 men plus women and children, 15,000, 20,000 people. There was one little boy who had some food that Jesus was going to divide. God placed him there. Did he just accidentally come that day? Did he just accidentally bring that lunch? No. And you're not accidentally where you are today. You're not accidentally where you are out there. You're not just accidentally any place. God has brought you here. And He's brought you into this world. And you're living in 2012 for just such a time. Just such a time. You know, it was unknown men. Have you ever thought about it? Who let the Apostle Paul down in the basket? Unknown men. Are you with me? Unknown men. You know anything about them? But all the ministry. Those men invested in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Wow. Fruit to their account. Invest. Invest what we have in eternity. Esther has a must task. It is a must. The king by law was protected from intrusion, and she had a task. The queen had determined to say yes to Mordecai, thus saying yes to the Lord from Mordecai's leadership. After 3 days of fasting, and no doubt prayer, because they went together, she totally yielded to the merciful hand of God. She said, "If I die, I die." I don't want you to miss this, please. We need to be people who are so close to the Lord, have such a walk with the Lord, so close that it doesn't matter what happens. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, wherever He wants me to go, whatever He wants me to say, I want to be there. If I die, I die. She wasn't saying that flippantly. She meant she might lose her life when she went before that king. But I want you to know, she says, it makes no difference. My people must be saved. And brethren, I tell you what, it makes no difference to you and me who know Christ, who are headed straight up when we leave this world. That it makes no difference if a lost soul is at stake. A lost soul at stake. If I die, I die. I remember Brother Moser Sr. singing. I can't even hear the choir singing this song. And I know they did. I can't hear the congregation singing this song. And I know they did. But at the end of the service, the invitation time, I can remember him singing, "Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way." You better look and see where Jesus went before you sing that song. Better look. He went to the cross. You wouldn't be here a saved person today if somebody hadn't carried that witness to you. Somebody. If I die, I die. Serve Him, no matter what the outcome. I want to conclude our thoughts this morning with a very beautiful truth. A very, very beautiful truth. Truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 and verse 2, I want you to read it with me. "And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in a court, and she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter." I don't want you to miss this beautiful picture. The only deliverance from death. And that empire was the scepter of the king. Hebrew word for scepter means is shebit. It's interesting, it's used in the masculine gender. And the same words used in Numbers 24:17, which is a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's called the scepter. As that scepter meant life and death, Christ means life and death. Either a person knows Christ and has life, or they do not know Christ and they have death. When Esther touched that scepter, her life was secured by the king, and so was mine. When I came to Christ, and I came to Christ as a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner. And you know, there's no other way you can come to the Lord Jesus. There's no other way you can come to him. Dirty, filthy, rotten, no good, sorry sinner. You say, well, Brother Taylor, you were religious and you taught classes and you led the music and you led the choir, and you know what? That doesn't make anything. That's just like that clothes that Esther sent down to Mordecai. I put them on, you see. I had them on. And I'll tell you what, it didn't make a hill of beans. I needed to go in the throne room, repenting of my sins, turning from my sins to the only hope I would have. Did I clean up my life? No. Don't think turning from your sins is cleaning up your life. You see, to be saved, it's turning helpless. I remember when I was but a child, the Second World War had ended. I know you thought I was back to the first, but the Second World War had ended. And I remember on the front of the newspaper, the prisoners. I remember as vivid as it was back then, they were giving up to our troops. The war was over. The war was over. I want you to know, the war was over in my heart when I gave up. Lord, and I don't bring anything. I just don't want that life anymore. I don't want that filthy mind. I don't want that filthy heart. I want to be saved from my sins. I need you. I need you. And I accept your payment. I accept your payment on the cross of Calvary for my sins. You see, to be saved is personal. When you see that Jesus died for your sin, he's died for the sins of the world, praise the Lord. But when you see he died for your sins, Your sins. That's when you can be saved. That's when you can be saved. When you're willing to turn to him. Don't hold back. Are there sins you want to keep? Don't hold back. No, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You see, my front of salvation was not a new heart. Was not a cleansed mind and a cleansed being. It was only outward. It was only outward. Those who come to Christ accepting the Lord Jesus today will one day rule and reign with him, because their eternal life is secure. It's secure. As Esther, we are here, all of us that know Christ this morning. And if you're not, this is the day. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you the assurance in your heart that I have in my heart. I want you to know one thing. This one thing I know, Paul said, this one thing I know. If I fall right here and there's no breath in me, and as the world would say that I'm dead, I want to promise you one thing. According to the Word of God, I'm not dead. Bible says, he that believeth in him shall never die. Never die. It's just a transfer. It's just a transfer. I'm looking for the transfer. I want to stay here as long as he wants me to, but I'm looking for the transfer. I want to see my Jesus. I want to see him. I want to see him. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, 15 tells us we're to be holding forth the word of life to a crooked and perverse nation among whom we shine as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life. Brother Corey, that's what God wants. Just holding forth. Holding forth. Holding forth the word of life. Therefore, my beloved brethren, my exhortation to you this morning is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your labor is never, 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 never in vain in the Lord. May we pray. Father, you've spoken to our hearts. You've reminded this preacher of so many things. So many needs in my own life. You've reminded me of how good you've been to me. You've reminded me, Father, of how good you've been to this church. And I trust, Father, you've reminded these precious folks how good you've been to them, bringing them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us remember. Help us remember that we are here for just such a time. I praise you and thank you and exalt you in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Brother Corey.